Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, it's going to be a very special one.
Hey, this is a lot of fun. This is a special edition of Atlanta Business Radio brought to you by our good friends at Centurion Advisory Group. And right out of the box, let's tee up the founding shareholder, Chief Moomba, what Chief Kahuna, Mr. Randy Brunson. How are you, sir?
Glad to be here, Stone. Thanks.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. Before we do dive into some of the other conversations, could you give us just a little bit of an overview of Centurion, what you're out there trying to do for folks?
Sure. We are a professional services firm specializing in retirement plan management and consulting, primarily for manufacturers in the state of Georgia. That's the short version. I give you a three-paragraph version.
Plenty.
That's enough.
That's plenty. Yeah. That's all I wanted.
So who'd you bring with you today?
Our guests today are Mr. Jason Moss, who is the founder of Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, and Jason will tell us about GMA, and also Ms. Gail Moore, who actually owns a manufacturing company here in Georgia, and Marty Gates, who is our 401k services director at Centurion Advisor Group.
Good stuff. So who do you want to start with?
Let me introduce Jason have him share with us the why behind GMA and tell us a little bit about manufacturing in Georgia and why it's so important to the Georgia economy.
All right, Jason.
All right, perfect. Well, I tell you, anytime I have the opportunity to talk about manufacturing, that turns my crank, man. I mean, it's good stuff. The reason that we exist is to help support manufacturers across the state of Georgia. And we do that. We help manufacturers connect with each other and build strategic alliances with each other. And we do that through plant tours, networking events, and educational sessions. This past year, in 2017, we had a little over 3,000 people attend events that we hosted, and we hosted 115 events around the state. So we're pretty busy. This year, we just ran the numbers, and believe it or not, we've already done had a little over 1,200 folks attend events that we've hosted. We've done 55 events so far in 2018, and
wow.
We're staying pretty busy. We've had the opportunity to tour world-class manufacturing and see what's really going on behind the scenes and help industry professionals connect with each other to be able to build those relationships and also learn from each other. Because if we can help make those connections and share the best practices, it's a win for everybody. Because if we can help one manufacturer avoid a landmine, avoid a challenge that they would have faced just by connecting with each other and learning from each other, it's a win for everybody. So
now, can you give us some context on the Georgia manufacturing ecosystem? Like, mm-hmm. Is there a lot of manufacturing going on?
Yeah, I get that question quite often. I had the opportunity to speak at Kennesaw State the other day. Was invited to come talk to a group of graduate students, and I opened the session up, and I said, "How many manufacturers do you think we have in the state of Georgia?" And the room got kind of quiet.
just like crickets.
Like, do we really make stuff here? Mm-hmm. And this is a group of students that are getting ready to go out into the workforce. And one bold lady stood up and said, "I think we have at least 50. And I'm like, "Wow, does anybody think that we have more than 50? And they were kind of hesitant. And so I bid it up. You know, I was playing auction. I said, 50, 50, 50. We got any more than 50, 50. One guy stood up. "I think we got 100. Little gal in the back corner said, "I think we've got at least 300 manufacturers in the state of Georgia."
No one Googled it at that point?
No. You would think that
that's
group,
what Katie
right?
would have
right.
done.
Yeah, Katie was saying, "How many do we have?" But the reality is they were floored, as often people that I talk to are amazed, that we have over 10,000 manufacturing facilities in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
And we employ over 440,000 people every day in the manufacturing space. And the challenge that we find is the average consumer can't name even three products that they know for a fact are manufactured in our state. And that's one of the big things that we do. You know, the Manufacturing Alliance helps these manufacturers connect with each other and learn best practices. On the other side of kind of what we're doing is bringing more awareness of products that are made in Georgia. So we'll talk about that in maybe just a minute. But manufacturing, alive and well in Georgia and growing like crazy.
So now, is it trending up? Are there more and more manufacturers?
Yes, we are. We're attracting a lot of manufacturers for the fourth or fifth year, Georgia's been voted the best state to do business, and manufacturing is a big part of that. We've got a very active economic development group in the state of Georgia, and Georgia is attracting manufacturers left and right. So yeah, it's booming right now.
Now, and when you're saying manufacturer, like what is that? What does a manufacturer look like in today's world? Can it be five people, or does it have to be 1,000 people in a plant? Like, what does a manufacturer look like?
Well, there's a lot of different definitions of manufacturing. Manufacturing, Webster tells us that manufacturing is the process of converting a raw good into a finished product using a machine. Now, using that definition, my favorite manufacturing on the planet is Krispy Kreme, because they use machines to make heavenly little pies, donuts that are just wonderful. So that does, believe it or not, that fits in the manufacturing bucket, but that's not what we typically think of as mm-hmm. manufacturers. But manufacturing, it can be a mom and pop machine shop that converts a product or in process. So it doesn't have to be your Kia automotive manufacturer or Gulfstream. Manufacturing takes on a lot of different, is seen in a lot different ways. It can be, like I said, a small machine shop down in Cordell, Georgia, building barbecue grills. That is manufacturing in its purest, but it doesn't have to be a large manufacturer. The majority of manufacturing is less than 50 employees in the state.
Really?
Yeah.
And your alliance serves all of them.
Correct. Yeah, that's one thing that makes the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance unique, is that we are a for-profit industry association. And again, we're designed to support all different types of manufacturing, whether it's a mom-and-pop machine shop to Kia and Bluebird and Gulfstream. You know, we serve all of those companies. The common denominator is that they do have, they've got a loading dock. They're making stuff here in Georgia, moving it along the manufacturing process.
Now, when you're serving them, are you... You mentioned the tours as one of the services. What are some of the other services?
Well, we provide not only the plant tours. That's what most folks know us for. But we also provide educational sessions as well. This morning, we had a great opportunity for a trainer that helps coach and consults with people on Amazon. That's, again, their area that we're trying to help our manufacturers
right,
be more.
Now they manufacture it, now they have to distribute it.
They need to find a way to market with it. So we do trainings. We've done trainings on lean, operational excellence. We've done safety trainings. That's the thing about our membership in the Alliance allows companies of all sizes to be able to fully benefit from the organization. And it's not just one department. It's every department. We provide training year round in every department of manufacturing, whether it's the logistics side, safety, operations, sales, and marketing. And we've done trainings on LinkedIn to Amazon today. And so we do training, networking opportunities, and plant tours. Those are the three big buckets that we serve.
Now, is the training done in person, or are you leveraging some of the technology and doing virtual?
I'm a big in-person live kind of guy. And I believe that, there's things that could be done technically. I'm not the technical guy. We probably need to embrace a little bit more technology, but all of our events are live events. I mean, I believe that if it's important enough, people will schedule their time to go meet face-to-face, because there are things that you just cannot pick up on a webinar. They're great. I love them, but GMA doesn't have any kind of resources that are, really technically driven. It's really face-to-face and building those relationships that way.
So we're going to swing back around here in a few moments, because I want to know the backstory, the Moss backstory, mm-hmm. how one gets to land in a job. Because your passion just comes through. You really find the work that you do incredibly rewarding, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
So we're going to swing back around and do that. But I want Randy to share with us his other guest that you brought, Gail. Tell us about Gail.
Gail Moore. Gail is owner of a manufacturing company here in Georgia, and I'll let Gail share some more about herself in just a minute.
Is it the donuts, Gail?
No. No. Do my share of consuming them, but not producing them.
Go ahead, Randy.
Gail's she is a manufacturer and heavily involved in GMA, Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, Women in Manufacturing, the local chamber, just heavily involved in promoting manufacturing here in Georgia, as well as being, so she understands it from the inside out because she and her family own a manufacturing company. So love to hear from her, just to share her experience as a manufacturer in Georgia and the state of manufacturing and the value that GMA brings to the table, some of those kinds of things.
All right, Gail, want to share a little bit about what you're up to?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Randy. We've been in plastic fabrication for 13 years now.
Before it was cool.
And it's not cool. No AC in the shop, so summers are brutal. But the tie-in for GMA for me has been to see the big picture because, mm-hmm. you know, you tend to, as makers, you get laser focus, which right. you got to get in the door, turn the product around, get it back out the door to your customer. So the piece that they have brought is the big to see across the state, who's doing what their needs are, what challenges they have, and then pull resources together to answer those as a collective.
Now, are you finding that the manufacturer, kind of the club, is it a collaborative group or is it kind of every person for themselves?
I would say that the shift mm-hmm. is going to be collaborative, and I would probably say that the Great Recession had a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. So many fell by the wayside.
Right.
The doors were slamming shut as fast as you could. That you could count.
So there was some consolidation then?
Yeah, I think coming out of that, the ones that hung on and persevered and stayed through that period, it kind of gave a different mindset coming out of it that maybe we do need to pull
together.
Work together
a little mm-hmm. bit for the greater good.
To build back. Yeah, it was a journey. Nobody came back overnight.
Now, what about the women in manufacturing? Are there a lot of women in manufacturing nowadays?
Yes. Yes, and that is growing, but mm-hmm. part of where WIM comes in and also supporting those women that are already, we have 1,000 members strong wow. right now across the nation and growing every month, an official Georgia chapter as of 2 years ago, but it's more designed to promote and support those women in those positions already, but as a sideline to educate those maybe in trade school or college that it's very much a viable career
path. Mm-hmm. Now, is that one of the challenges from a talent standpoint? A lot of people maybe didn't or maybe were choosing to go to college and maybe that wasn't the best fit and they'd be better fit in some of these technical or vocational schools?
Oh, absolutely.
Are yes. you seeing that? So there's oh, yes. now a groundswell of getting more people involved in that?
Yes, yes. And in our county alone, we have started last year an initiative to get all students, male and female. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, though, the last outreach we did was half female. Out of the
so that's
five
encouraging.
High schools.
So the message is getting out there.
So,
then.
Yeah, I was so encouraged by that because I really thought maybe a few of the high school seniors would sign up in the mm-hmm. female, but it was half female, half male out of our five high schools that signed up for that. We took them on industry tours and then had some time one-on-one with them interim to explain that you do have other options. Either on the supply side, the logistics side, or actually in the facility making something. So,
because has manufacturing changed in the way that maybe they pictured in their head
yes.
and then what it is in reality?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's been a big change. Not there's not still the traditional what you picture machine shop.
Right.
They are there and will probably mm-hmm. always be there. There's some room for old school makers and always probably will be. But we've come so far now in automation, additive manufacturing, lean, which has now created a different environment for manufacturers to work in. So it is a different and a lot more computer controlled.
Right. So maybe at one point in the history of manufacturing, you need to be big and strong and tough. And now it's more brain work.
It's right. more brain work. Yeah, finesse.
So mm-hmm. then where gender really is not
it
relevant
is
anymore, right?
Not a
oh, I think it's relevant. I think we specifically want more women. I think they're smarter. I think they're more collaborative. I think they're better with money. I think they're more comfortable in their own skin. I would so much rather work with a woman. Right, Katie?
Right, Katie. yeah.
So now, share a little bit about Custom Plastics. How are you serving folks there? What is exactly, what is the custom plastic that you're manufacturing?
We take different forms of sheet plastic and turn it into a custom product, typically. We start with a drawing. The customer has a need. Some engineer comes up with a drawing. Sometimes we do the drawing if they don't have one. And then we go from there into the process, securing the material, figuring out the lead time to turn it around and the process it's going to take to box it and get it out the door for them.
And what's an example of something you manufacture?
You wouldn't probably have seen anything off the shelf of what we do because it's typically a component part. So say an assembly requires, it might be a metal assembly, but it requires a plastic piece. And we would take that drawing and provide that plastic piece. But ours is more in the line of small production, because if you're going into kind of large volume, you're going to pay to have that injection mold built. Right. And then it's pennies on a part to shoot out of an injection mold versus us by hand routing or machining that part.
But there's still a place for yours because
absolutely.
Prior to its scaling, there needs to be this phase.
You might have a prototype, or you might just have short runs until it takes off.
Right.
Or continuous short runs.
Like my headphone helmet that I've been trying to sell you and Katie on for months. Don't you think that would be a marvelous product? The headphone helmet.
Like it.
So now, walk us through what the process is if somebody wanted to work with you. What is the typical pain is that they have never done this before, or
typically that pain and not understanding from point A to come up to the finished product.
Right. So a lot of your time has been educating, explaining, and then kind of going back and forth.
Trying to get them to understand that a lot has to go on in order to have the finished product.
Right.
There's a lot that
there's
has
not
to
a magic
take place.
Wand that you have and then
no,
just appears.
And a scribble on a napkin and like it might be 1.25 inches, but oh no, really it's not. But once you make something,
it is what
it is
at that point.
So yeah, it's
always
a challenge.
And then you have to go back and then kind of tweak that a little bit. You try to avoid that, I'm sure.
You try to avoid that. That's where the engineered drawing really comes into play.
And that's why you do some of that in-house, because that way you can control that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So I want to hear a little bit about the family business dynamic. I met Lee some years ago, and there was a show already in place here that dealt with family business yes. dynamics. So you got to sit in on a lot of that. Right. I didn't get that education. So, but I got to believe, and from hearing some anecdotal stories from Lee, there's some different stuff going on in a family. What is that like, being part of a family business? I'm sorry. What is the good part about it? It's different, though, right?
Well, you might want to talk to that, Marty.
Let's let Marty in on this because she's kind of involved in family.
Yeah, so first, Marty Gates, you are part of the family that is Centurion.
Yes.
Yes. So first of all, thank you for making the show possible. If it weren't for you guys, we couldn't have the show. And yes, please weigh in on this. And I'm going to let Lee facilitate it because he's the expert in the family business, the resident.
I don't know about that.
But I got to believe it's different, right?
It is. You know, I always tell people that there are advantages and disadvantages to working with your family. So maybe some advantages that I've realized over the past few years are that the older I get, the more like my dad I end up. And so
you're taking that as an advantage.
I don't know, but I understand the way he acts a lot more and I'm more forgiving of it because I realize I do the same thing. But you know, then there are the advantages when my kids have stuff going on at school and maybe I'd like to do that rather than work, you know, for those 2 hours. It has that advantage, but you know, I've been very blessed in my life with my dad. He's a really great guy. And the older he gets, just I've seen him grow and just develop into this great, not just man, but also in the office as a leader. And so it's been really great. You know, when he messes up, he's more than willing to ask for forgiveness. And at the same time, he's willing to give me space to grow as a person, as an employee as well. So it's been an adventure, I guess.
All right, let me share what I learned from sitting in probably dozens of family business shows. This is what I learned. You tell me if this is true or not. Some of the pros are the employees are treated like family. It's a much tighter kind of situation where people really care about it. They're more emotionally invested, and there's a lot more slack given.
Agreed.
In that regard. Are you saying that is true, Gail? You're nodding your head.
Agreed. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right? Maybe it's less transactional. It's more relationship driven. And so then because of that, everybody is in it together. Mm-hmm. So that really comes through. One of the challenges I heard is that sometimes the succession is a little tricky, that when you have whoever is the founder, the other family members waiting their turn to achieve like higher leadership levels, that could be a challenge. And sometimes it's hard to separate the business from like family time, like mm-hmm. holidays and, you know, get togethers. A lot of times the people that are involved in the family kind of are off in a corner, like kind of rehashing some stuff. Whereas people who aren't are, they're like, hey, you know, no, that never happens.
We, for the most part, we try to keep it very separate and uh-huh. it usually works out pretty well. I've got a handful of kids at home that usually keep us completely distracted from anything company related when my parents are at the house. And so that definitely helps from that aspect. But, you know, the relational for all of the employees, the strong relational side, I definitely agree with that. I feel like that with the other ladies that work in the office. So, Gail?
Absolutely. Well, I think for us, it's been a progression. Because when we started, it pretty much was the two of us. So mm-hmm. we were all back of the house. It was all about turning that product around, right. getting it out the door. Then as time progressed, I sort of segued more from back of the house to then totally running front of the house, doing the books, being the marketing, you name it, a lot right. of hats. But that's what you do.
Right.
And fortunately, our strengths lended that to be successful because he was totally fine with staying. Leave me back here. Let right. me do my thing. Stay out of the way.
You're in your lane. He's
in that sounds like somebody I know.
Ride and not tell me what to do every day.
You negotiate that. That's a negotiation.
You work that out.
Yeah. And then has it been rewarding? Is this something, because like you're not sick of each other because you're kind of around each other all the time?
No.
I mean, some people would think you're crazy, right? I'm sure you get
absolutely.
Probably some of your friends are like, I can never work my spouse.
Well, I hear that quite often.
I kind of fit in that bucket. I love my wife. And I am a blessed man. I wake up on the good side of that deal every day. And I'm thankful for it. And my wife she stayed at home with our son till he went to kindergarten. And she went to kindergarten with him. Mm-hmm. And she stayed, and he kept going, progressing through school. And one thing led to another, and my son's in his second year of college, and my wife is saying that she's served her time, and she's ready to no longer be a teacher. And we're going through that thing right now about, well, what is it that you're going to do? And we've kind of kicked around the idea of her coming to the office, but neither one of us are fully sold on that working out. I mean, I love her a lot, and I don't know that she loves me that much
right.
to be able for us to, because there is that separation thing. Yeah. I mean, we've been really blessed. I never had it in my mind at all that my son would get involved in the business. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, this was not his cup of tea. Right. He's an outside boy. I mean, from the time he was like two, as soon as the door opened, he was gone outside and never came back in. I mean, he had to drag him back in. So he always wanted to be outside doing something, you know, working on go-karts or motorcycles or cars or whatever, chasing girls and bass fishing. That's his world. And and he just started working for me doing our social media. And he's been just amazed. He's like, dude, you can get paid to be inside all day and not have not have to
what
deal
a concept.
With yeah. I'm like, well, you can. And now he's having to buy a little bigger shirts now because he's not quite as active as he once was. But it's been a pleasure working with him in the office, you know, and he's gonna take the summer off with us and we're gonna be working together. We're planning on doing between 12 and 18 tours in the month of July.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to be me and him on the road
for
the entire month. So that ought to be fun. We'll see how well we work together. I mean, I love working with him, and it's been fun, but we hadn't worked that closely together for that length of time. Now, my wife is doing backflips because she got the house to herself for a month. I'm like, well, whatever, however that works out for you.
Well, I'm sure if you kind of fit in some fishing in there.
Right. Be right. Okay. Yeah. We will. I promise you that will be worked in. Yeah. Yes. You can get on that.
Now, in manufacturing, are there a lot of family-owned businesses in manufacturing? Is that an industry that lends itself to family-owned businesses?
Yeah. More often than not. I mean, the family dynamic is huge really? In manufacturing. Uh-huh. Because,
why do you think that is?
Well, I think, you know, the way that the businesses typically start. You know, you get a founder, get an idea, they come up with something, they work it out in the garage and then kind of grow from that. I don't know that people set off on the mission to start a family business, mm-hmm. but kind of like a lot of us that are in the family space, you know, you get something going, you need some help and you kind of pull those in and attract that. Mm-hmm. But like you were mentioning earlier, you do have to have that family dynamic. There's some pros and cons mm-hmm. to it. And, I've found that the manufacturing community really works together as a community. Other than I've been in other industries and I hadn't seen that sense of community like I see it in manufacturing. And that's one thing about this space is we've got to work together. At one time, all the business in manufacturing was let either at the golf course or at the bar on Friday night. That's how business used to be run.
Right.
And then the internet showed up and the world was flat. And I can get it done for nickel cheaper in Bangladesh, so why not outsource it, mm-hmm. right? And what happened was we had a great sense of community, everybody working together. Internet showed up and it kind of swung. It's like a pendulum swung to the other side where we were really looking for the best return for our investors and that sort of thing, and lost that sense of community and what GMA is really about. I mean, if you boil everything that we do down. The thing that we do is we're here to build a community of manufacturers working together. And that's the difference. That's the thing that works. And the people in those companies appreciate that. And they see how that works in their business. So when you give them the opportunity to do that together, company to company, that's when the magic happens. You know, people start working together. I mean, you know, if you have a factory line, a machine break down on Saturday and you got production to get out, good luck getting that fixed on Google. I mean, it's just not going to happen, right? But if you got somebody that's in the business that may have some spare parts that might be able to help and find somebody to fix things, that's what the community is really about, is pulling that back together.
And especially if you've met each other in person at some of these trainings or done a tour together and you know each other and you're kind of comfortable with each other, it's easier to make that phone call to say, hey, I need some help here. Do you have somebody or something that can help me solve this problem, because they know it's going to come back to them.
Right. Who do you know? You know, that's the magic is who do you know?
And then so because there are a lot of family-owned businesses, is this something that the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance has services that are kind of family business oriented? Are you thinking about putting something like that together?
That's an area that we're probably going to begin to you know, succession planning, you know, and really working with the businesses and talking about some of those dynamics.
Right, because if there's a lot of them, they're probably all going through similar kind of things.
Right.
And even to have a forum where they can all hang out together to kind of share some of this would be probably helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we may add part of that is, so once a year we do the Georgia Manufacturing Summit. October the 10th will be coming up as our next event. We're expecting to bring in between 750 and 1,000 people to attend this event. This will be our fourth year doing the summit. And we try to find topics and build our educational session that day mm-hmm. around issues that our manufacturers are facing. And that's one of the things that's a good point. I'll put that on the survey to find out what our manufacturers are most interested in, because we build our events around what the manufacturers tell us they need.
Right.
An idea.
What a concept.
About how to run an organization.
Listen to your customers. Wow. But write that down.
I've got these genius ideas, but not always what the customer wants.
But it wouldn't surprise me a bit if one of the topics that they were interested in, or the family of topics they would be interested in, is succession planning, financial planning, all that. I mean, all incredibly important.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I promised a little while ago I want to swing back to you, and I'm going to come back to Gail. I'm going to get this too. I'd love to hear this part. The Moss backstory, man. How did you land? Did you have like a real job before this?
Well, believe it or not, I did. I go way back. I had the opportunity to serve our country, and I loaded bombs on F-16s during Desert Storm. Wow. I was a bomb loader. I loaded them. It was quite the interesting time. I found out that I enjoyed the travel. but it wasn't probably the best career move in the world because there wasn't a lot of demand for bomb loaders after
you left.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know.
It is kind of a niche.
I tried to hook up. At the time, I was trying to hook up Delta to take out Eastern, but they took themselves out. But anyway, when I found out that there was, you know, really not a lot of demand in that, I got into engineering and design work. I took every class that the Gwinnett Tech offered on AutoCAD.
Well, good for you.
And I got into that, got into software sales, was sold AutoCAD and SolidWorks to manufacturers. And in 99 and 2000 was pretty successful in that space. We were selling 3D printers. We were just getting started in the 3D printing world. And then I took about a 7-year sabbatical from software sales and got into network marketing, home-based businesses, you know, multi-level stuff. You know, we've all been touched by those at some level, but I was fairly successful in that. I built an organization of about 4,500 people nationwide. I'd be the guy that'd come in and do the weekend seminars. My wife was always amazed. She's like, people pay to hear you talk.
I bet you're a great speaker though, right?
Well, I don't know about that. She's like, I'd pay for you to sit down and shut up all weekend. But I'm like, well, they pay more, so I'm going to go do that. But I fell in love with business-to-business networking. Chamber of Commerce, PowerCore, B&I, man, if it was networking, I was on it. I did that for about 7 years. And when that company went away, I decided I needed to get back into something that I knew how to do. So I got back into software sales. And I was looking around for a networking group that served manufacturers. Now, there's some fantastic organizations like APIC, professional organizations like APIC,
sure.
Society of Manufacturing Engineers, Women in Manufacturing, Institute of Packaging Professionals, but they were very siloed in what they did. They were focused on one part of a company or one component of manufacturing. There was really nothing that was an overarching organization. So honestly, I was kind of jonesing for some front of the room time. And I'm like, heck, I'll just start me a little networking deal. Right. And February of 2008, I kicked this thing off and we had 16 people attend the first meeting. And we've been running monthly meetings ever since. And now we're doing, you know, 12, 15 events a month. And I had it in my mind that it could turn into this. It's different than what I had initially envisioned, like most businesses are. But I knew that there was a need to serve the manufacturers and give them the opportunity, give them a voice and give them the platform to connect with each other. And that was where it all came from. I mean, initially it was to help me sell more software. You know, I mean, that was part of it, but to be able to give back and give to the community and let folks get connected. And because I think there's power in community.
Right. Serving your communities, good mojo in business.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun too. We get to see some cool stuff. I mean, like I said, this year we've toured Bluebird Bus. They make big yellow buses. Mm-hmm. So they're pushing 70 buses a day out of there. Now, what the heck are you going to do with 70 buses a day? I don't know, but that's a lot of big buses.
They're going all over the country? All over the world.
The majority of their stuff is export. So Bluebird Bus. And then we had the opportunity to go to Kia. Now, Kia, a little different speed. They're pushing out a car every 57 seconds.
Unbelievable.
Even wrap your head around that.
Yeah, I mean, you sit and watch them, and you have a whole new appreciation for what it takes to manufacture things. And then we had the opportunity to tour Gulfstream. Now, Gulfstream was a little trickier getting in, as it should be. But we went and toured the 650 plant, the G650 plant. Now, they push a little slower production. They push out a plane every 3 days.
They don't give out samples and tours.
I tried to get a sample.
Like the Hershey ride. Right, I got like a sample.
Right. But those are $65 million without paint and without interior. And there's a 2.5-year backlog.
Oh, my.
And that's the biggest employer in the state of Georgia in the manufacturing. Over 12,000 folks go to work every day building those planes. And it's just fascinating to see the things that we're able to do and being able to take people from all different aspects into see things like that is fun. That's the reason that we're doing the Buy from Georgia tour campaign in July. We're opening this up to the general public. Anybody that wants to attend one of the tours that we have open, you got to register and register early if you want to go see some of these things. But if you want to see, you know, if you've seen the television show How It's Made,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get to live that every day, right? Cool. We get to see, I mean, I love hanging around smart folks and seeing how they come up with solutions to tough problems in manufacturing. And we're able to share that with the general community. And mostly we work manufacturer to manufacturer. But in the month of July, we're going to be opening those up to the general public. We're going to be doing tours all over the state. So we'll be inviting people to come in and see what manufacturing is all about. Because once you walk through a factory, it will change your perspective on what manufacturing truly is. And And all of that is with the hope that we will get people to change their perspective of manufacturing as a potential career path, either for themselves or people that are coming up in our next, you know, in our next crew. Because we need to get more people excited. Right. We got to make manufacturing sexy again. And the only way we're able to be able to do that is to be able to get folks to see what it's about.
Right.
Right.
And because I think that it's almost like a PR problem that in their head, they think it's this thing, but it's not that thing anymore. Mm-hmm. And so they got to really re-educate themselves on what it is. And those tours are a great way for young people to see, you know, this is what manufacturing looks like, or supply chain.
Yeah, by default, they think it's that dirty, dangerous, dead-end job that you do when you can't do something else, right? But when you go and walk through some of these factories, now there are, some a little more of the traditional old-school manufacturing still out there. But for the most part, people, I mean, it's good-paying, solid, great jobs that have great futures and potential. And we need good people to come in there. That's the number one challenge that manufacturers face is the workforce today.
And that's, Gail, that's some of your efforts, right, to get women and girls involved in this. Are there some initiatives to get young girls in the process or to go through these tours and do things like that? Or
yes, we are starting that in Georgia. I know more in the Midwest where that manufacturing belt is. Mm-hmm. The concentration's so high up there, they actually have summer girl camps that all week. Just young girls get to come in and work at the plant floor. They're not actually in production line, obviously, but they're getting to see throughout that week what it looks like.
So. Right. We do some work here with the Women in Technology group, and Katie does a show every month with them where she interviews that organization. But they have a whole kind of girls robotics kind of thing that gives them a taste of this. Yeah. And it's amazing just to open their mind that, you know, a lot of the girls are consumers of technology, but to think that they can create things, I mean, that's a mental shift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So anything we can do to help that, you know, we'd love doing.
Super.
Is that rewarding for you to see the light bulb kind of go off with the girl? Like, I can do this. Why can't I be this?
Exactly. Yeah, we had some Girl Scouts summer before last come through just to see our little shop, our operation, to be able to say. And I started more in a big manufacturer, did that for quite some time, but that closed. That's how we segued into having our own. Right. We took that fabrication arm of that big plant
and said, we're going to be start great at this.
Yes, that was our
lane. Hold the phone. Wait, just you make that sound like, well, you know, this opportunity ended, so we just opened this door, and so we built this company. And I mean, tell us about that time period. I mean, was this just like gut-wrenching for you?
I don't know, because I had always pictured myself from a little girl being an owner of something.
Tycoon.
I didn't know what it was going to look like. You know, whether it be a soda shop, I had no idea. I just knew I was going to own and run something of my own.
So this thing goes kaput, or they run into trouble.
They retired.
And you choose mom and yourself.
Operation, and they retired. And so my husband and I worked there together. I was working in the office, running the office, and he was back in the back doing his thing, building molds, making parts.
So you were working together there?
At that time, but never really on a daily basis. Never saw each other.
All right. So who said to who? Who said to who? Look, let's build this thing. Let's take over this. I could tell.
My bet is Gail said it
because Gail was doing the math. There was math involved.
Well, see, I ran the numbers in the office, so I knew day in and day out that there's money to be made in making stuff. Absolutely.
And he said, what's his name?
Ed.
Okay. And so Ed said, you're crazy. I'm going to go get another job. Or Ed said,
absolutely. Kudos to Ed for being
smart enough to jump on this thing. But seriously, you guys had to have some pretty. Yeah.
But it was all based on his talent. Had that not been there of all his 27 years of being in the bag, building molds, making parts, we would have been toast. Yeah. So based on his talent. And he knew, I knew, front of the house.
Yeah, or he could have had a stack of really cool stuff over in the corner that nobody bought. You agree, don't you, Jason? Yeah. It's the whole team thing.
Yeah, it was
what
exciting.
A story. I mean, look, my wife is incredibly talented. She works for a little company called IBM, and apparently she's really good at it. They send her a check every couple of weeks, and I am so blessed to be married to her. But I'm trying to envision she and I not having the job that we have anymore at the same company, and then we just go do this. The fortitude, you know,
at the time you're going through it, I don't know. I guess neither one of us really digested it, because it's just, you got to kick into high gear. When we went to the boss and said, we really want to take this fabrication arm from you. Is that, are you good with that? And he was like, absolutely. Because he really wanted to see it pass on.
Right.
But his two daughters
didn't want to do it.
No way, Dad.
Which, that's another family
not
business.
Our thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's that whole succession, exactly. Handing it off. Legacy.
It was not going to happen. And so he was thrilled that we wanted to still continue,
right,
with that,
that
one.
Legacy is still continuing.
Well,
so it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a matter of, we had to go sit down. He said, bring in the list of what you're going to need from out back to start with your endeavor. So that night till about midnight, we came, we made up our list. He said, name your prices. And so we went through, named what we thought, well, this sounds fair to offer for that. He gave us the customers. There was no transition.
So you just handed it off.
Handed that off to us. So we were incredibly blessed.
So this is a great guy, too, that we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And being at the right place at the right time and ready to do that.
And that was for that person, they were happy to do it because their dream still lives on.
Still
was it didn't end with them where it could have.
Yeah. So that was,
and that's good for the community. What about all those people who work there? Now they're working with you, right? Or a lot of some of them.
We brought a couple over with us, but most of them, fortunately, that was still back when everything was running, you know, people were making and cranking. They all pretty much went on to other jobs. By the time the doors were closed, they had other positions. Mm-hmm. We did bring two more out with us to start up.
So. And then now, is that, how is it going now?
It's been a challenge. Yeah, it's been a challenge because time has moved on. Processes have gotten more technical. Equipment has upgraded. Due to family obligations for us, we probably missed some traffic that we would have had we gone ahead and concentrated on upgrading and meeting the levels of demand at this point. But I wouldn't trade having served my family in their time of need at all. I'd go back and do it that way again. Even though at that time, everything was running great. We had a manager on site. It was wonderful. But who knew the Great Recession?
Right.
I mean, a downturn, yes, but Great Recession, yeah. I didn't see that coming.
If you could manufacture those crystal balls, we'd be gold.
Let's get on that, Jason. It'd
be a whole different
kind of manufacturer. Yeah.
So do you find yourself hanging out with Jason and his crowd? Do you go to the Margarita Mondays and or whatever it is that they have organized?
We need to start that.
Yes.
What have you been waiting for?
I wish I'd have thought.
Only for groupies.
Right.
Only for the groupies. We get Margarita Mondays.
It's cool, but yeah.
All right. So tell us a little bit, Marty, about how and why you hang out with this crowd, how you try to serve this crowd. Because obviously Centurion has apparently a vested interest in genuinely serving the folks in this ecosystem. Yeah.
Correct. Well, I mean, Jason's such a cool guy. Why would you not want to hang out with him all the time? No, you know, we just really feel like manufacturing in Georgia is extremely important. And the way that we're able to serve, helping with their 401k plans and the process that we follow really matches up to the mindset that manufacturers have and in their processes. And so that's kind of the selling point for us. But, you know, one of the things I always tell new people when they come to the GMA events is that GMA is different than any of the other groups, chambers or whatever that I've been involved with. And a lot of that is the relationships. When you go to a GMA event, we all know each other. It's like a big family. It really is. It's like this big extended family. And so having that, when I already work with my dad and Gil, your son's even jumping in on your company now, right? Mm-hmm. You wrangled him in somehow. Mm-hmm. So we're like this big extended family and that's really fantastic. But it's really great when we get to go to the different manufacturing places and see things that are made right here in Georgia, you know. And then when I go grocery shopping and I'm like, buy the King's Hawaiian rolls. They're made in Georgia. You know, the Lay's potato
you
chips.
You do adopt that mentality more and more, though, don't you?
You know, when I go and look at which chips I'm going to buy, I'm going to grab the bag of Lay's potato chips over I don't know which of the other ones are. I can't even remember anymore because I just buy Lay. So you get to where you know what's manufactured here in the state, and you know that you're supporting other families, however small way it might be, you know, and, you get really proud.
Right. And
I live in a cool state.
And that's an important thing, Jason, right, about why you're doing this is to serve the people that are serving the city and the state.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what this is about. That's why you're kind of helping them. That's why Business Radio X does what we do, is our mission is to support and celebrate and get the word out about all this great stuff that's happening here, where people just don't understand and don't connect those dots. Like you said, I didn't know about the King's Hawaiian.
All the more reason to buy them.
Exactly, because they're delicious by themselves. But now, I didn't know they were manufactured here. And that's why you're trying to start this initiative, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Buy from Georgia piece, again, over 10,000 manufacturers here in the state. The average consumer can't name three things that are made here. But if you went home today or on the way home, you needed to buy some batteries for the remote, and you needed some AAA or 9-volt batteries, and you pulled into Walmart, Home Depot, and you saw two battery displays. One said Energizer, the other said Duracell. Those are similar products and similar price. We've all bought both, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What if you knew for a fact that the AAA and 9-volt batteries by Duracell were made in LaGrange, Georgia, and support 400 Georgia families?
Which ones are you going to buy? Absolutely.
It's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. And a lot of people tell me they pay a little more. Now, now with everything else being equal, if we bought Duracell and we shared that message and we were able to increase the sales of Duracell batteries by 10%, 10% on 400 jobs would be what? 40 new jobs in LaGrange, Georgia. Now, if we took that mindset, that philosophy, and multiplied it times 1,000 companies and 1,000 products, we can and will be the leader of this manufacturing renaissance by increasing sales just by consumer education. But we got to figure out a way to get that message out. And on June the 20th, Governor Deal, for the fifth year in a row, Governor Deal will be presenting to our leadership team a proclamation declaring July Buy from Georgia Month, strictly to celebrate and highlight and bring awareness of products made in Georgia. So June 20th, at the Capitol, anybody's invited to, if you're interested in manufacturing, you're in manufacturing space, you want to come get your picture taken on the steps with the governor, it's a really great thing. Again, for the fifth year, he's really supported this cause. And then throughout the month of July, again, we're going to be doing plant tours statewide. Our goal is between 12 and 18 tours in the month of July that people can come out and see what's being made here. This really matters. And what we've done is we've recently created a webpage that allows people to find things. As I've traveled the state, people always say, well, just give me a list of stuff that's made here. And I've printed out thousands of lists, and I know that most of them end up in the trash can. Right. But it's difficult to kind of read through a list and try to figure that stuff out. So what we did was we leveraged the best tool on the planet for moving products, and that's Amazon. So what we've done is we built a webpage called buyfromgeorgia.com. And every time you make a purchase on that website, you know for a fact that you're helping support a Georgia family. Now, all of us are on Amazon. We use Amazon.
Sure.
Most of us Amazon Prime. We know what's out there. Why not use that tool? Because there's literally millions and millions of products that are on Amazon, but this is the only place where those products are consolidated to find. We've done the research. We found out. We've told the stories. And each one of those companies has a little paragraph telling their story about where they are and what they make and the impact that they're having. Now, some of them are a little more particular about having, you know, employee counts and exact locations and all that stuff. But again, it tells the story of the products that are made here and what we as a consumer can do. Now, not all of us are manufacturers. Not all of us make things. But every one of us are a consumer, and every one of us can impact our community by making wise decisions. We got to have the education. We got to have the knowledge. We got to have a tool that allows us to make that decision easy. But you'll be seeing the Buy From Georgia logo on all sorts of products as they're beginning to come over. I mean, this is a grassroots movement, and we are at the ground floor. So I'd encourage, if you got a wallet and you want to make a decision to help support our local businesses, you can do that. But go start your search. Start every, you know, we're going to put out some little stickers that you can put on your keyboard or on your monitor. But Buy From Georgia. Go to that website first before you make any purchases. And you will be blown away with all the products that are listed on that webpage. I promise you, you'll be floored when you see some of those things.
Yeah, and we would like to share the stories of those manufacturers.
Yeah, we really would. We need to figure out a way to do that.
This vehicle that we have, when we have these kind of extended conversations in long form, and you can hear the passion of the Gail Moores of the world that are out there doing what they got to do in order to serve their community, to serve their business, and to serve their, you know, the state. We would love to share those stories. So please send those manufacturers our way. Okay. I know Centurion, you guys want to help get the word out about the manufacturing that's happening here.
Absolutely.
So any story like that, any manufacturer, they
and that October thing, the October summit, I mean, if it sounds appropriate, I think we ought to talk about doing an on-site broadcast and organizing some stories there. Right. And,
we like that. Yeah.
We were just at the FinTech South because FinTech, financial technology software, is a growing industry here. 70% of every financial transaction passes through a company here in Georgia, which a lot of people don't understand and don't appreciate. And people from all over the world came to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for an event there, and we got to interview. We were live on the field doing interviews. We interviewed 21 people in that day.
The first non-sports broadcast from that stadium. At least that's our story until someone tells us different.
Right. Yeah, I'm buying that for sure. Well, I tell you, you know, one of the things, and you mentioned Centurion. I mean, you know, we have the opportunity. We're again to get clear about what we are and what we're not. We're not political in any way. We're a for-profit industry association supporting manufacturers, and we survive 100% from our memberships and our sponsorships. And so when companies see what we do, you know, they're able to be plugged in to be part of the group and part of the family and get discounts on a lot of different things. We've got some unbelievable discounts and programs that I can't officially announce on air, but if you want to get with me, I can show you how to get vehicles at a really great deal and a variety of different things that might be manufactured in Georgia. But again, we have, you know, our sponsors, the people that see what we do and understand what we do and want to help us through that mission and get that word out. You know, we can't do this thing for free. And I hadn't figured out any of the hotel chains that'll give me rooms for free or gas for free or any of that stuff. So, but we're really dependent on our memberships and our sponsorships and the people that get the vision. And when Randy and Marty saw what we were doing, I've known Randy for many, many years. When we sat down and when he had the opportunity to really get the vision of what we want, what we're doing, he said, I want to be a part of that. I want to help you with that. And we're very fortunate to have great sponsors like Centurion to be able to help us get this mission, you know, get this mission done, get this accomplished.
It's important work.
Yeah. And we really appreciate all the support for
We love it. Yeah. We have a good time.
But we have lots of fun.
I have one question. I have a 3-year-old that has a birthday coming up, and I haven't figured out how to get him one of those Caterpillar machines yet for his 4th birthday.
All right, Jason.
We'll see what we can do.
Get on
that. That happened.
I happen to know a guy. or a gal in that regard.
Before we wrap, why don't we give everybody a chance to give some coordinates? Do you want to share some coordinates?
Yeah, we'd love to have, if you're interested in getting plugged into the Georgia manufacturing community, our website is www.georgiamanufacturingalliance.com. That's all spelled out, super long, but you know where you're at when you get there. Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, I can be reached by email at jason@georgiamanufacturing.com. Our office number is 770-338-0051, where you'll always find a pleasant voice. It'll take care of any of your manufacturing curiosities. We can do that. But again, thanks for having us on.
Sure. And Gail?
Yep. Gail Moore, Custom Plastics and More. We're out in Winston, Georgia, right off I-20. And website is customplasticsandmore.com. I'm on LinkedIn. Anyone can reach out and connect with me on LinkedIn. Gail Moore, GailMoore.
And then what is the kind of the pain that your prospect or client is having where you guys are the right solution?
Usually a small run, small requirement, but a custom piece that we can.
Is it a typical type, a certain industry that you work with, or it's kind of industry agnostic?
It could be
anything.
All over the place.
Just bring her a cocktail napkin with a drawing on it.
That's
it. Boom.
She'll bam. Yes. It'll be out the door.
I can't wait to show her the headphone helmet.
I know.
It happens every day.
Love it.
All right. And Marty?
Sure. Our website is centurionag.com. You can reach me. My email is mgates@centurionag.com. And our office number is 770-817-0525.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for putting this together. It was a pleasure. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.